So this is one of my favorite movies of all time. If you don't believe me, just ask my wife because it drives her crazy. She hates these movies, mainly because they're like 4 hours long, so you really have to commit. These are the Lord of the Rings movies, favorite movies of all time. I love the story. I've read the books. And the reason I love these stories is because they are about a journey of unexpected heroes. Unexpected heroes trying to save their world. Taking evil to a place to destroy it. And this scene is from the last movie called The Return of the King. Spoilers. But it's a great scene. And the reason I love this scene is because Frodo comes to this moment. Frodo is one of our main characters. This moment where he's been through a lot. He's been through three movies, a four-hour time frame. So he's been through a lot of stuff. Okay, so but he's at his final place, the thing that he needs to do, and he's faced with this gigantic mountain to climb. And he just can't do it. He's overcome by exhaustion, by fear. And I love this scene because it's the final moment where you notice that the real hero of the story has never been Frodo. It has always been Sam, the character that is with him. And because Sam has been with him through all of this journey and has been the foundation for Frodo through all of it. And I love it because it's a beautiful moment. Sam says to him, "I can't carry this for you, but I can carry you." And I love this scene because I think it is a beautiful picture of how we follow God. Last week I was here, I talked about Jonah chapter 1 and 2. And we talked about how I believe that one of the big things that holds us back from following God is the feeling of inadequacy. Feeling like we are not good enough. Feeling like we are broken. Feeling like we are damaged goods. And how could God ever use us? And we saw in Jonah chapter 1 and 2 when Jonah runs from the Lord, jumps onto this ship, realizes he's made a mistake, feels like he is a lost cause and wants to end his life. God never lets him go. Because no matter how much we fail, God will never let us go. And then we can always run back to God. But if you're anything like me, once you started following God and maybe you come to the realization that you can follow God and always run back to Him, I still think there's other emotions, other feelings that hold us back from always following God. And the next would be something that Frodo dealt with. Fear. See, I believe fear also holds us back from stepping up to following Christ the way He calls us. Fear that we're going to screw it all up. Fear that we may not be able to answer questions when we start talking to somebody about our faith. Fear that we're doing this all wrong. Exhaustion from living life and fearing that you are doing it all wrong. Faith mentioned this morning she had a messy morning and some fear. Some of you this morning have fear right now that you are screwing this all up. Some of you just got in a fight with your kid and you're afraid they're going to hate you forever. Some of you tried to have a conversation with somebody about Christ at work and he asked you a question. You had no idea how to answer it. Fear often holds us back from following God. So I want to deal with that emotion this morning. Because I believe that this feeling of fear that holds us back, fear for messing it all up, fear that we're doing this all wrong, fear that we are ruining God's plan, comes from us misunderstanding our relationship with God, our role in this relationship, and His role in this relationship. And so to do that, we're going to jump back into Jonah. I'm going to be here with you for a little bit, and so we're going to keep going through Jonah here in July, because I love the story of Jonah. We're just going to pick up where we left off in chapter 3. For those of you who would like to follow along, you can on the screen, or you can open your Bibles. Just a recap from last week. Remember, Jonah hears God calling him somewhere to Nineveh. Jonah runs in the clear opposite direction. I used the example last week as if God had called you to Canada and you decided to go to Florida and then go on a cruise to the Bahamas. That was basically what Jonah did. He ran in the clear opposite direction of where God called him. Jonah broke down. God pulled him back. And finally, in his desperation, he calls out to God. And God saves him and shows him grace. Now we come to chapter 3, and this is how it begins. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you." Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, if those of you who are following along in chapter 1, what I love about the story of Jonah is there's often some times in the book where we get parallels between what happened earlier and what's happening now. And chapter 1 and 3 have a parallel in it. If you read the beginning of chapter 1 and the beginning of chapter 3, they're almost identical. God shows up to Jonah, gives him a word, calls him to go to Nineveh. The only difference is Jonah's reaction. And this is done on purpose because it's trying to compare and contrast Jonah's reaction in the beginning and Jonah's reaction right now. See, God comes to him, gives him the same message, go to Nineveh, and the change is that Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. So one of the first things we learn about our role in our relationship with God is simply this. That following God means being willing and ready to act on what He says. Following God means being willing and ready to act on what He says. So we see a lot of things we think about our relationship with God. And if you're like me, maybe you've questioned, what am I supposed to do? God, what am I supposed to do here? What am I supposed to do with my kid? What am I supposed to do with this person at work? What am I supposed to, should I go do this? Should I take this? How should I spend my money? God, what do you want me to do in my life? I think we overcomplicate our relationship with God. See, our relationship with God, at its core, is simple. Listen to what He says and be willing and ready to act on it. Now, some of you are saying, Josh, it's not that simple. Okay, you're oversimplifying it. And I probably am, but whatever. So, let's talk about it, though. In Jonah, we see that it really is this simple. And the reason for that is, first, we have direct access to God in His directions. In the story of Jonah, we see this. God comes to Jonah and gives him a word. Says to him, go to Nineveh. Now, I talked about this last week. Some of you were saying, I'm not a prophet, okay? I work over in Lebanon. I'm not a prophet. God doesn't come to me, show up, you know, in the morning and say, here's my word to you. What I reference here is, yeah, God doesn't show up to us always like He does with Jonah, but that's because He's already shown up. See, I've done a lot of traveling here in the last couple of years, and it's a lot of different places, but one trip that was very influential for me was I got to go to Israel for 2 weeks in college. I know it was real tough. It was real hard. But it was a great trip. We got to walk around, see a lot of stuff, see where the stories in the Bible happened. But what I loved about this trip is there were a couple times that they'd actually let you go out on your own, because that's a great idea. Let's send 20-year-old students from central Pennsylvania into Israel by themselves. Okay? And they did this once in a market in Jerusalem. It was a really great experience. If you've never been to a market like this, my only way I can explain it is think of winding small hallways where people are trying to sell you bags all the time. Okay, this is essentially the market at Jerusalem. It was a really cool experience. We got to haggle for a little while, but like normal college students, we weren't paying attention to the time. And eventually it came down to a half hour before we had to be back at the bus before they were going to leave. And we kind of got lost. Because there were a lot of turns and a lot of people yelling at us to buy things, and I bought some stuff and probably paid way too much for it, and we were lost. We didn't know where to go. So we're like, oh, this will be simple. We'll just ask for directions. One problem. We're in Jerusalem, not Cleona. Okay, so we don't know how to speak Hebrew and Arabic, and there are a lot of people who know to speak English in Israel, but unfortunately in the place we were in the market, they were a little less good at speaking English than we probably would have liked. And so we're trying to ask for directions, and we either got broken English, somebody yelling at us in Hebrew, somebody yelling at us in Arabic, and often how the conversation would always end is they'd point a certain direction. Now, at first we thought, cool, they're helping us. Eventually we realized, I'm not sure they have any idea what we're talking about, and they're just tired of talking to us, so they're pointing us in one direction to go somewhere. So we kept going and got lost eventually. Now, think the Lord, we eventually found some guy from Europe who just happened to be in Israel all the time and could speak English. And we got back to the bus like 25 seconds before they were supposed to leave. And we got out of there. But the reason I tell you this is because often I think we view following God the same way. That God's telling us things, but it's hard to understand what God tells us. That God hides what He wants us to do from Him, from us. This is how I always felt following God for a long time. Because I wanted God to show up in my room in a burning bush like Moses, because that was simple. Just tell me what to do. But God never did that. And I always felt for a long time, God, why are you not talking to me? And it wasn't until I realized God saying, I already did. See, we have this book that God gives us, His Word, that teaches us the way He wants us to live, how to know Him. He gives us access to Him. And if that wasn't enough, His Son broke into our world to reveal God to us. See, we have direct access to the God of the universe. We have direct access to His direction. All we need to do is pick it up and study it. Talk to Him. And we can actually hear from God. So when we have this access, it makes it much easier. Because our role in this relationship is simple. Listen and be willing to act. Following means listening and being willing to act. We see this in Jonah. Jonah hears God and he's learned his lesson. It says he obeyed the Lord. There's an immediacy to what Jonah does. He just goes to where God told him to go. Jonah doesn't know any other details. Jonah doesn't know what door to enter into the city. Doesn't know what guys to talk to. He just knows, go to Nineveh and tell them what I've told you. It is this simple. Listening to what God says and acting on it. One of the best pieces of advice I ever got in this whole relationship aspect with God was actually from a friend of mine in college when we were talking about this idea. And we were talking about, you know, I want to know what God wants me to do here. What do I want to do here? And he eventually just told me, he said, listen, following God is much simpler than that. It's just being faithful to what He's already showed you, to what you know, and the stuff that you don't know, trust Him with that. And if you need to know it, He'll show you. Be faithful to what you know and act on it. It's that simple. So I have a friend of mine that some of you may know here. So let's just give him a fake name. Let's just say his name is Jed Bullgreen. Okay, so let's just fake name. Some of you are laughing because it's not fake. That's his real name. So Jed is a great guy. I've known Jed for a long time. Jed and I grew up going to this church together. There's a few of us that went to this church together. And God has happily decided that some of us are going to end up living in the same area. So a couple of us still live together in near the area of Lancaster. And we get together a good bit of time doing trivia nights, some game nights, because we're nerds, and that's what we do. So, hanging out. But what I love about Jed is one of the best-hearted people I know, but he's gotten a rep in our group. And that rep is whenever Jed's a part of a game night, the game will easily take at least an hour to an hour and a half longer than it should ever take. Because Jed is a very thoughtful person. And by thoughtful, I mean he takes forever to take turns, okay? Jed takes forever to deliberate about things. Not just games, just in general. Jed deliberates about a lot of things. Heads up, I didn't tell Jed I was telling a story, so if you tell him, please do. Okay, so Jed takes forever to take turns. And I love him, he's just super thoughtful. But he's always asking, what if I do this, what if I do that? And he's never vocalizing it, you can always just see it in his face. It's like it comes to his turn, and Jed just stares at the board, and like moves a piece around, and like moves it back, and looks at cards, and eventually we all go to the bathroom, and we come back, and maybe he's taken the turn. There's been times I've forgotten who's supposed to be doing their turn, and it's usually still Jed, okay? So it takes forever to deliberate. And the reality of it is we make fun of Jed for this all the time, but we are so much like this in life. When it comes to following God, we try to take on things that are not ours. We try to answer all the questions before we do. What if I do this? What if I do this? I worked in a church for a while, and if I had a dollar for every time I had a conversation with somebody about something I felt that God was asking them to do, it would always turn into the what-if game. Even people coming, I knew people that would have been amazing. We worked with kids, working with kids and teaching them, and the question was always this: what if I say the wrong thing? What if I don't know what to say? What if I look like an idiot? And my response always was, all three of those things are going to happen. But it's not our job to question them. See, this is where the fear comes in. We're taking on things that are not for us to take on. We're trying to answer all the questions of the what ifs. And God's saying, you don't need all the answers to the what ifs. I've already told you what to do. Just act on it. Act on it. One of the most helpful things for me in all of this has been to, when I look at scriptures, to write out the different areas in my life, the different realms in my life. For a lot of us, you know, work, family, the community around us, church. And as I write these down, as I'm reading through scripture, there are things that I don't always understand, but there are things that I do. And when I do understand them, to look at the areas of my life and ask the question, where can this be lived in these areas? And then the stuff that you don't know, just keep asking God to speak to you. And when you do need to know them, He will. And just faithfully follow the things that you do know. And God takes care of the rest. This is what it means to follow God. This is what it means to trust God. See, the reason we can do this without fear, with confidence, is because of this amazing truth that has been freeing in my own life, and it is this, that God can use our imperfect actions to do the incredible. God can use our imperfect actions to do the incredible. We see this in the rest of Jonah chapter 3. Starting at the second part of verse 3, it says this, "Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened." I love this part of Jonah, because when I used to read this, it used to always confuse me. Because if you look at what Jonah's doing, Jonah does not perfectly live out what God calls him to. And the reason we can tell this is because God gives this message to him to say that they will be destroyed if they repent. And what does Jonah do? Jonah walks in a day's walk and says, "You're going to get destroyed. Heads up. Have fun." Okay, that's what Jonah does. He tells a message from God. He does what God told him to do, but he kind of half does it. He doesn't quite do it perfectly. And we'll find out more information about that in chapter 4, of the motivation of why Jonah does that. But I think this teaches us something very important, something that is freeing to know, but we need to know, and that's this. When we act for God, we will not be perfect. We will not be perfect. If you doubt that truth, just look through all of Scripture. All these people we hold up high in Scripture that followed God, they all screwed up somehow when they were following God. My favorite example of this is Peter. Just look at Peter. You could throw a stone and find the ways Peter screwed up. Even after he became an apostle, after he was doing all this stuff, Paul, the new guy, had to rebuke him when he wasn't including people that he should have been and be like, "Peter, what are you doing?" We are not going to be perfect. Now, some of you were last week, I talked about how we're going to also fail, and you're thinking, "Man, Josh, really, Dustin needs to come back. This guy is really depressing and not motivating at all, okay? We're not going to be perfect." But I'm not telling you this to make us feel bad. I'm telling you this because we need to be real with ourselves about who we are. I mentioned this last week, but it still stays true to this week as well. One of the things that drives me crazy about our culture and the way we hear stories, and I hear it time and time again at conferences, time and time again at festivals, time and time again when people are speaking. We love stories where it sounds like this. "I was horrible, I did drugs, I murdered a guy, then I came to Jesus, and now I am 100% perfect, and everything I do is awesome." Okay, these are stories that we hear all the time. "I was bad, Jesus, great." Okay, that you can break down most of the stories that way. You know the one place we don't hear that? Scripture. That is never the way our relationship with Jesus is described. The beauty of the gospel is that I was not perfect. Jesus took me anyway. I went to him. Things got a little better. I screwed up again. Jesus took me back. I still tried to follow him. I still wasn't perfect. I'm still trying to figure out this whole thing. I forgot to read my Bible yesterday. I forgot to pray today. I yelled at my kid last week. But Jesus still is working in my life and making me better one step at a time each day. That is the beauty of the gospel. Is that God takes imperfect people and uses them anyway. We are not going to be perfect. Now, I've done a lot of different events and things with kids, and one of the things that always happens when we go to, I used to take kids to creation every year. And one of the things that happens at the beginning of creation every single year is that we have to set up tents. And really good experience. If you've never set up tents with teenagers, I love you guys, okay? This is how it always goes down. You've got a couple different categories of kids. The kids who don't want to help at all, so they kind of like hide to the side, and they're like, go team, okay? Then you've got the kids who like, they don't want to help, but they're going to help anyway because they feel bad because they're on a church trip. So they're going to at least hold that pole while you're doing something. And then you have the kids who are super motivated, but they've never set up a tent in their entire life. And they're trying to help you, and they break like 7 poles in the process of trying to help, okay? We are so much like these kids when it comes to following God. But in the midst of this process, I never once hated those kids. And I was so happy that they were trying to help. There may have been one or two times I wanted to hit one of them with a pole, occasionally. But that didn't mean I didn't love them anymore. See, we need to get this picture in our head when it comes to following God. There are going to be times that you screw up, and God's not going to be happy with it. But he still wants to use you anyway. And he is taking joy in the fact that you are trying to follow him. We have to take this pressure off of ourselves to be perfect. Because you not being perfect is not going to derail the will of the God of the universe. This is important for us to understand, and it should be freeing. It doesn't mean that we strive to be horrible. It means that all God wants of us is our best. And sometimes our best is going to fall short. It means you're not always going to parent perfectly. It means you're not always going to preach the gospel to people perfectly. It doesn't mean you're always going to teach perfectly. It doesn't mean you're always going to love perfectly. But God doesn't reject you because of it. And those screw-ups and imperfections, they will not derail the work that God is doing. Because the other part of that phrase is that God will use the imperfect actions of a willing person to do the incredible. See, because we learn in Jonah this, that God is the one who does the real heavy lifting. God uses us, but we are not the people who change people. God is the person who changes people. We see this in the story of Jonah, and I love it, because this is what's so confusing. Jonah gets a day into the city, tells them they're going to be destroyed, says nothing about repenting, and then somehow magically the entire city repents to God. I don't know about you, but when I read this story, I was like, what the heck? How do they even know how to do this? See, if you look at verse 5, I love what it says. It says, after Jonah proclaimed all this, it says in verse 5, the Ninevites believed God. Not Jonah. Because Jonah didn't do it quite right. See, the reality of it is God can use our imperfect actions to do the incredible because God is the one who is perfect. God is the one who is incredible. And God is the one that when people come face to face with him, they are changed forever. So the city of Nineveh was changed, not because Jonah was perfect, but because God was there. And this has freed me in my own walk. Because I don't have to be afraid anymore of screwing this up. If I just faithfully follow God, God's the one who's going to do the incredible thing. This is why I love that scene from Lord of the Rings so much, the one that I showed in the beginning. Because Sam says something so important. I can't carry this for you, but I can carry you. God is saying the same thing to you this morning. I can't do this for you because I want you to do it, but when you do, I will carry you through it. I will carry you through parenting that child. I will carry you through that work situation. I will carry you through that medical diagnosis that you can't seem to handle on your own. You don't need to. Just faithfully follow me and I will take care of the rest. See, we shouldn't be afraid when we understand this dynamic to our relationship with God. It's not your responsibility to take care of everything. It's just to faithfully follow what God has given to you. That's it. God just wants your best. And some days, your best isn't going to be perfect. But God will still do something incredible. That is the beauty. And it is what has freed me in my walk, and I hope it frees you. Because I can recount countless times that I have tried speaking to students, that I have tried talking to people, that I have tried loving people, and I have stumbled over it every time. Whether it's I don't know what to say, or I say something stupid, or I am too busy that I don't love that person the way God asked me to, or just ask my family and my wife, I am not perfect. But God still does incredible things. So I encourage you today. I don't know what it is that you're afraid of. Some of you, you might be terrified that whatever God's asking you is too big for you to do. Some of you right now may have just been trying and trying and trying. You woke up this morning and like faith, today was messy for you. And you feel like you're screwing this all up. And I'm here to tell you this morning that if you're faithfully following whatever God's given you, you're not. It may seem like you are, but you're not. God is there, and He will take care of it. So we have nothing to be afraid of. See, the beautiful truth of following God is that God can use a willing and perfect person to do the incredible. So whatever you're afraid of that's holding you back, lean on Him and just do it. And see the incredible things that will happen through it. Because a journey with God is not something you want to miss out on. I can promise you that. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for our time here at Fairland. And Father, I thank you that you use us even in spite of our imperfections, in spite of our failings, in spite of the attempts that we do that just don't meet perfection. And I thank you that you don't expect that from us. I thank you that you just want us to follow you. And so I pray for that this morning, Father, for anybody sitting here this morning that you know they're afraid of something. Father, give them a confidence that can only come from you. Help them to act faithfully. I thank you that you do incredible things in spite of it. I thank you for your control and the power you have and your sovereignty over everything. I thank you for you. Help us be more faithful each day. Praise your son's name. Amen.